Looking directly into your Masechet Kelim, and we are holding today at Kelim Perek Tetvav, Mishnah Aleph, and we are ready to go. So, remember that in the second section of Kelim, the entire first 10 prokim gave us a general introduction and then spent the last of the 9 prokim, which we called Bava Kamma of Kelim, describing the dinim of the Kli Cheres. The first prokim that we've had after that, the first 4 prokim, were dedicated to Kli Matechet. This parak moves on from Kli Matechet to now give us a new introduction about non-Kli Cheres and non-Kli Matechet, which would include Kli Eitz, Kli Or, Kli Etzem, Kli Zchuchit, and what the general interrelationship are between those Kelim and how to contrast them to the previous 2 sets of Kelim that we had before, Kli Cheres and Kli Matechet. So we start with simple rules for Kli Eitz, Kli Or, Kli Etzem, Kli Zchuchit. The simple rule is that if they do not have a Beit Kibul, Pshutehem, they're Tohorim, but Mekablehem are Tmeim. So they need to have a Beit Kibul, and in which case they seem very similar in that din to the idea of Kli Cheres. Next rule is that if they broke, Nishbaru, they become Tahor. And as opposed to Kli Matechet, which we just spoke about, where there's a din of Chozrim L'tumah Yishana, if you bake them whole again and you fix them, Chazar v'asamihem kelim, they are kelim, but only vis-a-vis the future. They will not be metame mikanu l'ama. So then mekablim only, they will not be metame l'mafreya, they don't go back to the tuma, they will only be mekabel tuma again from this point on. But they still remain completely tar from whatever tuma had initially affected them before they were broken. Now, the din of Kabbalah, Beit Kibul, remember, was very different when it came to Kelim that relate to Eitz, or even to the Or and the Kli Etzem, because of the fact that they're listed together with Sak. And since they're listed together with Sak, where the main function of Sak is that it is a kli that is used to hold things and carry things around in. That's how sak, which actually means goat hair, became the word sack, which is the meaning of putting something into something to hold it. And it's because of that that we learn out a very special halacha, which we learned quickly when we first described the dinim of these kelim way back in the second parak. And that is that they have to be mitaltel male vereikam. Just like sak is metalta mole vereikam, it's meant to be carried around. And once it becomes a kli that can only sit in situ because of the fact that it is simply too heavy to carry without breaking, or in the case of sak, without tearing, it's ipso facto not mekabel tuma because of its non-similarity to sak, despite the fact that it has every other characteristic of being a kli. And therefore, surprisingly, if you have a really big Beit Kibul, in a wooden chest, let's say, it would not be mekabel tuma because of the fact that it's simply too large to move around. And therefore, there's a new halacha over here. And we're going to now talk about some examples of this new halacha of things which do have a very significant Beit Kibul, and nonetheless, they're not mekabel tuma. So suppose you have a shida, which is a large wooden box, or you have a teva. Teva in this case is referring to a banker's teva, which holds all of his different types of coins. A migdal is what we call nowadays an aron, a wood cabinet. And a wood cabinet is larger usually than can be carried around whole, as I'm sure you discovered when you tried moving your cabinet and ended up killing it because you were pushing it while it was full. A kaveret akash and a kaveret akanim, you can have these immense baskets. They could be made out of straw, they could be made out of reeds, but they are not really able to, these are talking about not that they're soft, they're hard, they're wooden-like, and they would be kli eitz if they wouldn't be so big, but the large ones, which are called kaveret, are not able to be moved without ripping. And you can also have a bor, Svina Alexandrit. They had a typical ferry boat that would take people from Eretz Yisrael to Alexandria. Remember, Alexandria was the main Jewish yeshiva in those days, and it was a tremendous metropolitan area. And they would have drinking water on board these ferries. And the drinking water was held in a tank that was so large that it could not be moved, and it was put permanently on the ship. And that was called the Bor, for all intents and purposes, a well of an Alexandrian ferry. So the din over there is that these things, Sheyesh Lehem Shulayim, if they have flat bottoms that are attached to the boat, are attached to the ground, they're not meant to be rolled around and so on, and they hold Arba'im Sa'a Belach, which is the equivalent of Kurayim Biyavesh. So remember, a Sa'a is a way to measure liquids, and the core is a measurement of solids, or of dry goods. Now, these things are very different because in a liquid, you cannot store more than what it holds, except by relying on a little bit of surface tension to go over the top. But when you've got a large box that you're going to be putting in, let's say, packages of tissue paper or whatever, you could pile the tissue paper way up without having it roll out. And therefore, if you've got Arboim Saw, which is close to 600 liters of liquid, the same amount, which is the same actual measurement in a core, actually would hold more than 50% more than the other ones. You could put in Shishim Saw. So the rule is, if something holds Arboim Saw Belach, it holds Shishim Saw Beyovish, because of it, you could keep piling it up on top. So if they're Marzigim Arboim Saw Belach, which is Kuraim, two core, which is Shishim Saw of Yavesh, they are Tahar, even though they have this wonderful base kibbol, because they are not meant to be moved once they're filled. Anything else that has a base kibbol, so the din is whether they have that base kibbol of 40 Saw or they don't, if they are made to be moved, so they don't have flat bottoms, they're not meant there, they're rolled around as a barrel or whatever it is, they could have, when it uses the word over here, Beit Kibul, it doesn't mean a Beit Kibul, it means a giant Beit Kibul. So whether they have a giant Beit Kibul or not, if they're meant to be moved around, so that would mean Bein Mekablim, Bein Ein Mekablim, whether they have over Arboim Sar or not, they're still going to be tummy, according to Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir chooses an approach that tells us the list of things that cannot become Tameh, and he says everything else can become Tameh. Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally agrees with Rabbi Meir, except that he presents it by saying all of the things that actually can become Tameh, and everything else cannot become Tameh, and that leaves one particular thing that ends up being the machlokas, as we'll see, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, who wants to talk about things that can become tummy, even though they hold an awful lot of liquid, a dardur of an agala, they used to put a drinking thing on a bus for people to be able to drink, which was in those days, of course, a wagon, or kustota malachim, you've got a king's, the mail chest, or that is put into the coach, the fancy coach, and the arevata abdanim, these large containers of water that are used by an abdan, who's a tanner, and you would put the ore in it to let it get soaked well in order for it to be easily tanned. And a bor, not of a Svina Alexandrit, but of smaller ships. So even though it holds Arboim Saw, it's meant to be removed in port, washed out, and refilled. And how about a coffin for a dead body? So Aaron, those things obviously are not meant to be put into one place and never moved again. So therefore, Afal Pisha Mikablim, even if they have Arboim Saw, they would still be Tamein, because they were originally manufactured in a way that is meant to be moved holding something. They're not manufactured in order to be moved when they're not holding something only. So all of these things are either refilled and then they're put back into the wagon or on the boat and they're moved with the water in them. A coffin, obviously, is meant to move a body from place to place. So those things, since they're made that way, then it doesn't matter that they hold Arba'im Sa'ah. But other types of Kalim, the din is that if they are Mekablim, if they have 40 Sa'ah, then they're Tahar. And only if they're Ina Mekablim are they Tameh. Now, that means that essentially Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are in agreement. They're just expressing it in different ways. So is there a difference between them? Yes, says the Mishnah. There's one case. Ein bein divrei Rabbi Meir. Le divrei Rabbi Yehuda, ela arevat ba'al habayit. The question over here is specifically a kneading trough of a ba'al habayit, where he puts the dough. Now, normally that sits on the kitchen counter. You do the kneading in it. You do not move it around while it's filled with dough. And even though theoretically, if something happened, you needed to take it off the counter, you could support it from underneath, you could move it from place to place, it's not meant to be used that way. So Rabbi Meir holds that nonetheless, and this we saw as a machlokas that we had earlier between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we go according to the way of its most common uses, and its normal mode of use is to stand still on a counter while you're kneading. Rabbi Meir says, nonetheless, you cannot claim that it's designed not to be moved, because the very fact that it's put on a kitchen counter means that in cases of need, you are able to move it from place to place. So because of that, Rabbi Meir holds it can become Tameh, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's Tahar. But as far as all of the other things mentioned beforehand in the Mishnah, there's no machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda.